And it's really funny, before we got onto the call, I was just scrolling through Instagram and there was an Olympic weightlifting athlete who'd posted one of her lifts. And the caption was basically, you know, you don't actually suck at lifting, you're just on your period. So it's like, we perceive these changes across the menstrual cycle and we feel them, but objectively, the research is saying that there aren't any changes.
Good morning, Brooke. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be great.
Cool. Awesome. Lovely to be on here this morning. My name's Brooke. So I am a coach. I've been coaching for about 8 years now. And I like to say that I'm an athlete. So I've been lifting for probably 10 to 11 years. I have recently started my PhD. So I'm a year into my PhD researching the influence of the menstrual cycle on strength sport athletes. And alongside, I guess, researching and coaching, I also teach at Victoria University within the exercise sports science degree. So kind of in academics research and kind of in practice coaching as well, which is a lot of fun.
Perfect. I'm super excited to pick your brain on all the topics, menstrual cycle and lifting. Why this topic?
That's an interesting question, actually. So I feel like it kind of came from my own experience. So I think, like many females, I was put on a contraceptive when I first started my menstrual cycle because there was a lot of symptoms that I wanted to manage and control. So I was around 16, was on the contraceptive for a couple of years, and then kind of was like, maybe I don't want to be on it. So I became off the contraceptive, and then my menstrual cycle was really affecting my life and my well-being and my training. So I started to research the topic, read a few books, listened to a few podcasts, got really interested in it, started to kind of have the conversation with my clients and my athletes and some of my other team members that I was working with, so other coaches and other academics. And then, like you said, it's a kind of an up-and-coming topic. There's a lot of interest in the area. I think there's a lot more research that we can do on the menstrual cycle and a lot of education that needs to be done with our athletes. So yeah, kind of developed from there. I became really interested in the topic. I have done a master's in strength conditioning and had always felt that I wanted to continue doing research. And so after your master's, kind of the next step is the PhD. So I thought, like, this is a really cool topic, found some really good supervisors, and then started, yeah, my PhD looking at the menstrual cycle.
Okay, so you decided this is what I will do. Then what is your approach to the topic? How will you research it?
What I'm doing at the moment, my first year, is looking at more global aspects of the menstrual cycle and its impact on our athletes. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm not looking at a specific mechanism of the menstrual cycle, so a specific phase or a specific, you know, variable in the lab. I'm looking at what are the perceptions of athletes and coaches. So what are we seeing on the gym floor? How are we changing our practices if we are? Like, what are the symptoms that we're seeing that are presenting that are affecting our athletes? So like, these kind of global things are what I'm looking at for my first and probably second year. And then from there, I'll look more closely at those mechanistic things. So I guess, like, strength performance, like, what is strength performance and what variables are affecting that performance? And then looking at one of those variables in a lab kind of base setting. So yeah, like, the first year is really delved into perceptions and practices. So how, yeah, what symptoms are presenting throughout the menstrual cycle? How do athletes perceive, and what are the attitudes, and what are they doing about those symptoms? And then how are coaches approaching the programming side of things and, like, managing the athletes throughout the menstrual cycle based on those symptoms? And as I mentioned, like, my research will mostly be in the strength sport, so weightlifters and powerlifters. And that is a really big gap in the literature as well. Like, we haven't got much on elite athletes in general, but most of the research has been done on team sport athletes, lots of endurance-based athletes, and, like, those sorts of things. And I think we know that those kind of performances are different to weightlifting or powerlifting performances, as well as, like, the coach-athlete relationship can sometimes be different in a team sport environment compared to, like, the individual-based sport environment. So I think, like, we can take lots of the information that's already out there and apply it to the sports, but it would be really interesting to actually have a look at strength sports specifically kind of in that area as well. So that's where my research is at the moment, kind of where it's going to be heading. A lot of the time the question is, how does the menstrual cycle affect performance? But you have to know, like, what exactly is performance? So for a team sport athlete, performance is very different to performance of a strength sport athlete. And similarly, if you, like, if it's CrossFitters, weightlifters, powerlifters, bodybuilders, which are general, like, strength sports, a bodybuilder is going to have a very different competitive season to a weightlifter. So again, like, their performance is going to be very different. So we need to be looking at different performance metrics and how the menstrual cycle affects those different things. So yeah, I think it'd be very interesting to have a look at these athletes in particular. And I think, yeah, mostly from from my experience, there's probably more similarities between them than differences just in terms of their training. I think the main differences that are coming up already is some technique changes and how we approach technique changes throughout the menstrual cycle. Because when we think of the two different sports, you know, powerlifting is much more like raw strength, like just lift that heavy thing, whereas weightlifting has a bit more of a technical side of the things. Like, not that powerlifting isn't technical, but a lot of your weightlifting performance is that technique there. So like, I think they're the two main differences that are kind of coming up straight away. But like you said, I think in terms of the training, they're relatively similar. So like, performance overall will be pretty similar as well. Or what we're measuring in performance is going to be pretty similar.
What exactly happens with the athletes during and in relation to menstrual cycle? So what do we know? What do we know about the symptoms of menstrual cycle and strength athletes?
So from the literature, we don't know a huge amount. And it's really interesting to look at the literature and compare it to what we see in practice. Because again, if we go back to performance in the literature, we're generally looking at very intricate variables. So it might be like voluntary contraction. So how much force is that muscle producing? Or it would be a rate of force development, or it would be like very intricate details that all influence the global performance of strength. Whereas obviously in practice, we're just seeing the global performance of strength. So how much weight is that person got on the bar and how are they lifting it? So like in the research, there tends to be the conclusion that objective performance measures don't change that much across the menstrual cycle, or they're not affected by the menstrual cycle. Or if there are changes, they're very, very small, which wouldn't necessarily affect overall performance. But then if you talk to any athlete or coach, they will tell you, man, like, we have these specific symptoms, there's these really big changes, there are performance changes. They tend to kind of have trends. So like, every time in this week of the cycle, I see this happening in my athlete. So there's like these two things that aren't quite adding up. So research is generally saying there's no real changes across the menstrual cycle. If there are changes, they're very, very small. Whereas in practice, we're saying like, there is. And it's really funny, before we got onto the call, I was just scrolling through Instagram, and there was an Olympic weightlifting athlete who'd posted one of her lifts, and the caption was basically, you know, you don't actually suck at lifting, you're just on your period. So it's like, we perceive these changes across the menstrual cycle and we feel them, but objectively the research is saying that there aren't any changes. As you mentioned, like, because it's quite a new field, there are some inconsistencies in the literature. So not necessarily issues, but like, there's some inconsistencies in terms of the methods that they use to track the cycle. Generally, the sample size is very, very small. So even when we have these conclusions, you always see at the bottom of the article, the authors say, but we can't necessarily draw like specific conclusions. There needs to be more research. There needs to be better methods. So I think because it's still quite a brand new topic, we do just need more research on the area. But if we're going back to like my research, and the area that I'm interested is like those perceptions of the athletes and coaches. So they are perceiving changes across the menstrual cycle, and mostly it's associated with symptoms. And those symptoms, generally we think of them as being negative. So there's bloating, and there's lower back pain, and there's fatigue, and sleep's not great, and maybe the nutrition changes. Sometimes there's behavior changes, so decreased motivation, all of these sorts of things at specific times in the cycle. But then there's always the reverse of that. So then there's always like times where they feel really motivated, they're very confident, they feel really strong, they could do 12 more sets than normal. So there are positive symptoms as well. And then there's obviously things, so that's like a naturally menstrual cycle, naturally menstruating female, but then there's also symptoms that are associated with contraceptive use. So generally they'll have symptoms around the time when they have the withdrawal bleed, and the rest of the cycle will be pretty like flatline and all. So symptoms are generally the main thing that athletes and coaches are perceiving. And in strength sports, it's those ones. It's lower back pain, bloating, changes in mood. Athletes will often feel changes in strength, so just feeling a little bit weaker. Coaches perceive similar things. So they notice these kind of symptoms. They also tend to perceive changes in technique or performance or coordination, which is really interesting, which generally athletes don't perceive that, but they might perceive it as they just feel a bit weaker, or like things just feel a bit weird or off when they're lifting.
Is it across the board, or is it specific to the individual athlete?
I think it's very individual. And I think that's where we not run into issues with the research, but it's where research will never necessarily answer questions for a specific individual, because everyone is so different. Even within the same athlete, their menstrual cycle could be different from month to month. So I think like from a coaching perspective, it's very much, I need to be able to notice those things within my athlete. I need to be able to have those conversations conversations with my athlete, and I'll just reactively change that when those things are coming up, rather than going, I know this person has their period at this time and I need to program and change things around that. It's like, no, when they come in and if they have those symptoms and if it is affecting their training, then we can adjust things accordingly. But it's very much going to be on an individual basis, which, as I said, it's hard because the research is generally done in, you know, averages. It's group averages rather than an athlete or an individual.
Yeah, very important point. So even if we have more research, at least at this point of time, we need to be mindful that the individual athlete in front of you is the athlete in front of you, and that matters the most, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think what the research, and I think what I'm trying to bring with the research, is it can still give global recommendations. And so I think, like, so if something that's come apparent is that most individuals will have symptoms of the menstrual cycle. Some people may have more symptoms or more symptoms that affect them quite a lot. Others may have like minimal symptoms and may not affect them. But I think on average, it's about 80% of individuals have menstrual cycle related symptoms. So like, that is just a good thing to know. So if I have a female who is naturally menstruating, I probably know that she's going to experience some symptoms at some point in time. And it doesn't necessarily mean I need to do anything about it. It's just that now I have that knowledge there, so that if she then has a conversation with me about, hey, I'm experiencing this thing, I can go, okay, like, that's actually pretty normal. Now let's problem solve that, or like do something to help manage that. So I think, yeah, even if the information is generalized, I think it's always still good to know and have that education behind you. Yeah.
Okay. So we went through what the symptoms could be for the athletes. Now, would you have any advice from reading the literature, how coaches try to help the athletes to go through this time?
So as we mentioned, I think it's pretty individual and depends on those symptoms. There seems to be common approaches that coaches do take, and it's generally going to be a reduction in intensity or volume. So if there is a specific symptom, we might just reduce the intensity slightly for that exercise. As I mentioned, it could be like reducing the complexity of that movement. So if you're seeing technique of a snatch that isn't looking great, maybe they're losing tension somewhere in the movement or the time's a bit off, then reducing the complexity of that movement to a snatch pull or a snatch deadlift or something like that. I think in general, it sounds maybe too silly, but like having more education around it. So I think something that athletes want is just their coaches to be more aware. And it's something that came up in my focus groups, but also comes up within the literature and within practice, is they don't necessarily want coaches to always be problem solving for them. They just want coaches to be aware of, this is how they're feeling. Like, don't dismiss the symptom or always have to be problem solving, but just be aware that this is how they're feeling. It's probably because of their menstrual cycle. Now let's move on, or let's have a conversation about it. So I think like the conversation education piece is a really big thing that is important to both coaches and athletes. And it's probably something that's missing. I think it's also a bit of a misconception in terms of maybe in the coaching practice, maybe a little bit of misinformation as well, is that there are specific things we need to be doing at certain phases of the menstrual cycle. Like we need to be reducing intensity, or we can't be lifting at this certain phase, we should be doing something else. I think that's a bit of a misconception. Like, there is nothing specific we need to be doing. It's more just, like managing the well-being of that athlete and being able to have conversations. And it also comes back to that individualization of your approach, is you will know that person in front of you so closely that there will be times where they're having symptoms and they don't feel great, and you just got to push them. You just got to go, doesn't matter, we've got a competition next week, you just got to get it done. And also educate them in terms of, the research actually shows that your performance isn't diminished. Like, you are feeling these things, but you'll be okay. And then there's going to be times with that individual where you can pull back and you can say, I understand you're feeling these things, let's just pull back the intensity and like look after that, their well-being in that way. I think that's, like you said, like that's the opportunity that we have in an individual sport. And that's also the fun of it, because we can like manage those things really closely and really get to know our athlete. I think in terms of like communication, something that generally makes it easier is to implement some tracking. So like, that's probably one of the biggest practical takeaways that you can start to do right now, is like ask your athlete if they are tracking their menstrual cycle, and if they're not, potentially start doing that. And I think that's a really easy in with the conversation. It's like, it's just another data point. So, I mean, people are tracking everything these days. Like, they'll have their sleep, they'll have their nutrition, they'll have their heart rate variability, they'll have their stress scores. And then the menstrual cycle is just kind of another data point that you can talk about on top of that. So that's kind of an easy way to have that conversation. And the more you're having that conversation, the more you'll start to see trends, the easier that conversation will be, the more likely or the more they are to tell you more information, and you can kind of manage the menstrual cycle and all those other things with your athlete a little bit better or a little bit easier, which is, yeah, fun and important. And like, that's a big aspect of coaching.
That's so true. I actually know coaches who know exactly where their female athletes are menstruating and they find it helpful. Would you have any other things that coaches could apply to help the athletes, especially female athletes, in relation to the menstrual cycle? You mentioned quite a lot. So tracking, adjusting volume intensity, adjusting complexity of the movement, and communication.
Yeah, I think communication is a big one. I think just being maybe more educated on the menstrual cycle is another big one that comes up. And it's not like everyone needs to go and get a PhD on the menstrual cycle. It's maybe just, yeah, knowing some basics of what is occurring between phase to phase and what kind of things might present. Other practical things. Yeah, I just think awareness is a big thing. And I think it's funny, so after both of the focus groups that I've done, we kind of walked out of the room and we're like, how fun was that just to talk about periods? Like, I feel like we just don't do it enough. So yeah, just being comfortable with that conversation and like initiating that conversation and making it kind of normal within the gym is another big thing that we can do, that I think the more we talk about things, the more educated people become, the more we'll kind of know how to practically apply specific things, and those kind of tips and helpful things will kind of come up. Because yeah, it's always going to be an individual approach, so it's hard to give really practical things to apply to everyone, I guess.
Yeah, but having an open conversation with will lead, hopefully, to some solutions. Because if I have an issue and we talk about it, you may have a solution that worked for you and you can share it. So it's the communication part, I think, is half of solving the problems.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the menstrual cycle kind of affects the athlete in so many different domains as well. So it will obviously affect, like, there's different cravings. So their nutrition throughout the menstrual cycle, it might affect their sleep. So I feel like it actually comes up in all those conversations as well. And so the more we know that, you know, this person is not sleeping well, it might be because of the menstrual cycle. So we can just kind of have that conversation and employ tactics to help with sleep or to help with that nutrition or to help with this symptom. So I feel like, yeah, that communication is probably the biggest thing. So yeah, getting on top of that, potentially like initiating that conversation really early. So maybe in your intake forms, generally you'll have an intake form or interview. So even from that point, try and make that a normal conversation. So you're generally going to ask about nutrition, going to ask about their hydration and their alcohol intake, just ask about the menstrual cycle as well. Like, don't make it like this weird thing that we have to bring up. It's a part of the athlete. So like, let's talk about it, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Would you have any differences to point out in terms of naturally menstruating athletes versus the athletes on contraception?
I think, yes. Yeah, so obviously, someone on contraception is not going to have a normal bleed. So they're going to have either a withdrawal bleed or, depending on the contraceptive, none at all. So some individuals won't have any symptoms at all if they're on a contraceptive or any of like the kind of normal symptoms, because they're not getting those fluctuations in hormones. I think there's kind of a trend towards those on contraceptive tend to have more psychological symptoms. So then they might have mood changes and kind of behavior changes, but not as much of those physical changes. So like bloating or acne or anything like that. So like the symptoms tend to be kind of different. But again, I think that conversation with that is going to be really important to ask them, like, are they experiencing anything? An interesting thing with those on contraception is they often won't associate symptoms with their menstrual cycle because they're not having a menstrual cycle. So they may actually still have a list of symptoms, both positive and negative, but they don't associate it with being a menstrual cycle symptom. So that's an interesting thing as well. So often they'll say like, no, I don't have any symptoms at all. And then you dig in deeper and they are experiencing some things. In terms of performance, I don't think we have enough data on, do we perform differently on the contraceptive? Yeah, it just depends on the individual. I think in the long term, like, we're both going to experience the same trajectory of performance increases. So we're all going to get stronger, we're all going to build muscle. Like, I think it's a bit of a misconception that the contraceptive could influence performance in that way. But yeah, the main thing, I guess, would be coming back to, like, are they experiencing symptoms acutely and then just managing them? But you would approach a naturally menstruating individual the same as you would approach someone on contraceptive. Yeah.
But that's an interesting point, that their athlete themselves, if they are menstruating naturally, they will say they will be aware of the symptoms related to that, hopefully. But the athletes who are on contraception may not relate the symptoms they're having to the changes that are related to the differences in the hormone levels.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think often they won't really want to track their menstrual cycle either, because they're like, it doesn't affect me. I'm on a contraceptive. I don't need to think about it, which is probably one of the benefits of the contraceptive, is like, you don't need to think about those fluctuations. Like, it's all good. But I would still recommend that they track their cycle and see if there are any trends occurring. But most likely and the research also shows that they experience less of those symptoms compared to naturally menstruating. But yeah, it's still worthwhile to kind of track and see what's happening, if there are any trends there.
Awesome. That's very useful. Do you have anything to add? Obviously, we cannot go into the details, but anything that you're already seeing that focus groups are bringing up?
Yes. So I will do 4 groups in total. I've done 2 already, one with coaches and one with athletes, so they were separate. Yeah, I think a lot of the perceptions kind of cross over in terms of they all experience or perceive symptoms. They mostly have similar ways that they adapt their training during those phases that are more symptomatic. They all kind of say that they wish there was more education, more conversation occurring. They still feel that there's some uncomfortable or awkward phases of trying to start the conversation. And it's funny because, like, athletes will often say, I think the thing that actually comes up quite often is athletes want their coaches to be more educated. And then you ask them, what do you think a coach should know then? Like, what's the education that they should receive? And they kind of say, well, they don't really need to know that much. They, like, should know the basics of the menstrual cycle, some basic physiology. And then I just want them to be, like, aware and, you know, sympathetic or empathetic when I do experience symptoms. So again, I think that kind of comes back to the conversation piece. Like, you don't necessarily need to be overly educated on the menstrual cycle, although that probably helps. But athletes do want to have more of that conversation, and they want coaches to want to have that conversation as well, or, like, want to learn about them individually and their menstrual cycle individually. I think another thing that you touched on is, like, so, and we said it before, like, obviously, each menstrual cycle is different from individual, but also within individuals. And we've only really talked about those with normal menstrual cycles, whereas in sports, there's also, obviously, I think it's probably as much as 40% of females or 30% of females who have dysfunction in their menstrual cycle or some sort of disorder. So, like, that's also a huge amount of the population as well that we just don't have the research on, and we need to do more. And they're generally the ones also having potentially more symptoms, or if they're not having a menstrual cycle at all, they're not having any symptoms, but that's also they're not at optimal health at that point either. So, like, there's more research that needs to be done there too. So I think it's, like, a really interesting topic, but also, like, there's so much to delve into. And so at the end of the day, you got to go back to, like, the individual in front of you and, like, what can I do to help this athlete to the best of my ability?
So what I'm hearing is, at the moment, your recommendation is to communicate, because maybe not the lack of research, but cares amount of research in specific cases. This is the single most applicable thing you can do. Talk to your athletes about their menstrual cycle and their symptoms, so that you together can address them if need be, and use this information to your advantage when planning and competing and progressing over the longer period of time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, having that relationship there is really important, that back and forth dialogue. So, like, allow them to put their input in as well, then you put your input in, and then, like, that's the best, that's good coaching, I guess.
Did you change anything in your coaching practice or your practice as an athlete after this 1 year of your PhD and diving into research and running focus groups and being kind of emerged in the topic?
Actually, I don't think I've changed my practice too much, but I think I have learned. I think the main thing I've learned is like my experience of the menstrual cycle has a lot of similarities with everyone else. Like there are a lot of similarities across the board, but then there's also some major differences as well. And those differences are really important. So I think the way that, because I assume that obviously I'm very interested in the menstrual cycle, I assume everyone else is as well. And there's a wide variety of like, both some females want to know more about the menstrual cycle, some just want to absolutely ignore it. It's just like, don't want to worry about it, I just want to perform. So I think I don't think my practice necessarily has changed, but the conversations I'm having with people have changed. And something that's really interesting is that, because when I obviously tell people I'm doing my PhD in the menstrual cycle, the first thing they do is start to tell me their experience, which is amazing because I'm getting all of these stories and I'm learning all these things about like all these different people. So I think it's like, yeah, there's so many similarities between all of us, but there's also a lot of differences. And so I think my coaching practice has only really changed in a way of maybe rather than assuming specific things about everyone, being more confident in having that conversation and then taking things from there.
So I'm hearing that you appreciate the individual makeup of each person more, knowing as much as you know about the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think even previously, I wasn't one to program specifically for the menstrual cycle. Like I didn't have a huge practice that I applied to the menstrual cycle. It was always just like a keen interest in it. So like practice in general hasn't necessarily changed.
Your three most important things for the coaches to take from this interview?
So I think three most important things that tend to come up in the literature as well as from conversations is the importance and the benefits of tracking. As I kind of mentioned, it doesn't need to be like a day-to-day tracking thing. Like every day I don't need to go in and track everything about my menstrual cycle. But I think over months and years, you'll start to see trends that occur. I think it's a really good educational tool for both athletes and coaches on themselves and others. So I think like implementing some sort of tracking, whether that's with an app or in a diary or, you know, in their training journal or anything like that. Communication is another really big one. So like initiate that conversation. If it is through the tracking, maybe that's an easy way to kind of start that conversation, or initially when you meet a new athlete, or potentially say if you're seeing common symptoms, you could just ask like, how are you feeling? Like, where are you in your menstrual cycle? Do you think that could be associated? So communication is a big one. Yeah, I guess just taking it on an individual basis. So if you are seeing those trends occur very commonly, yeah, just approach, like be a good coach and approach like intensity, complexity of the movement, and kind of go from there. And that's probably as much as you need to do for your practice. There's no specific exercises or programs or anything that you need to be implementing, which maybe is the conception that is out there. It's just like do what you're doing and then adjust things if necessary on according to that individual.
Awesome. Thank you. And last two questions. The first one is, what is your favorite color?
I don't know. My favorite color, I can't choose between green and blue. So my favorite color is teal because it's just a perfect mix of the two.
Okay. And the second question is, if people want to find you online, follow your research journey or ask you a question, where should they go?
My main platform would be Instagram. So my handle is just my full name. So Brooke Alva, A-L-V-A-R. I think there might be an underscore in there as well, but I think if you type in my name, it should come up. But yeah, Instagram's where I'm kind of most frequently posting and conversing with people.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brooke, for today. And hopefully see you next time after you finish your PhD.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to coming to talk about PhD when it's all published and out there.
Awesome. Thank you.